If you've ever struggled with shame, guilt, or abuse, no more. When my guest shares, people are supernaturally set free. Stan, you grew up in what is becoming more and more occurring, what is known as a sexually abusive home. And you knew nothing about Jesus, yet God knew you. And at 2 years of age, he started reaching out to you. What happened?
Well, at the age of two, I was in my bedroom, and I remember seeing literally demons all around that room. And in the midst of that, I heard a bunch of screaming and crying and hurting coming from my sisters who were being violated behind locked doors from my dad, their dad. And in the midst of that, I was scared, as a little child would be. And so I grabbed the covers, and the only thing I knew to do is to cover, get covered. And so I pulled the covers up over my head. Literally in the midst of that bedroom, there was an aura of glory that came, and I felt this presence of peace. And so I pulled down the covers as I heard an audible voice speaking to me. And it was a father's voice. It was not subtle and simple. It was very much direct and with love and compassion. And it began to speak into my life. And as it did, I had peace, and the rest came on me, and I fell asleep. And all the demons were scattered as soon as I uncovered myself and looked around. All I could see is the aura of glory and the audible voice of God speaking.
Let's fast forward now. I mean, and when he says abusive, he's just not being real graphic. It's about the most abusive situation I've ever heard of, Stan. Fast forward two decades, you're playing professional baseball, but then your career got cut short. Why?
Well, I was scheduled to go down with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and I believe that God wanted to get the devil out of my life to get the ray of light in. And so as the accident happened, all I can recall that morning was I was scheduled 11 days later to be in spring training. And so as the car accident happened, I went through rehab for 6 months and messed up my back, my shoulder, my right shoulder, my throwing arm, as well as my neck and my left knee. And so as I went through rehab for 6 months, I was, as you can imagine, devastated, because in professional sports, you're a product to the system. If you're not producing and producing finances for them, you're expendable. So I felt worthless on the inside. I felt literally lost on the inside out. I didn't know where to go. And so it was in June of that year, I laid before the Lord, and I didn't know him. And so I laid on the hood of my car, and I said, God, if this is life, if this is life, all the misery, all the shame, all the betrayal, all the hurt and pain, if this is it, I don't want it. Take me out. I said, but God, I cried out from, and I believe it was my spirit man that cried out. I said, but God, I want to know the truth. And that's when God began to reveal to me, and I began to weep on the hood of my car on that starlit night in June of 1997. And then, interesting enough, 3 days later, I was at a widow woman's house. Her name was Margaret Rose Cox. She was 81 years old, precious woman. She loved the Lord, and she wanted to serve me. And as I sat before her, she said something, and I said something. She thought it was funny, and all I heard was her gasp for air. And she didn't do the universal sign. She didn't grab her throat, didn't hit her chest. She literally just sat there, and our conversation went to silence. And as I sat there for the next 35, 40 seconds, I asked her, I said, Mrs. Cox, are you okay? And she couldn't say anything, of course, because she had just literally taken in a bite of a piece of chicken that got lodged in her throat. And so she gets up, and as she feebly begins to turn around and walk away to the restroom that was seated right off her kitchen, I asked her, Mrs. Cox, are you okay? And she kind of shrugged her hands like, yeah, I'm fine, but she didn't say anything. And she went inside to the half bathroom. And for a myriad of the next 8 to 10 minutes, God unveiled a vision. And he gave me this open vision. And he showed me the moment when I was a child at the age of two, when my sisters were being violated. And he revealed that love that he showed me at that time and the comfort that he gave me. And then at the age of seven, where I was molested by my dad. And at the age of 8, I was violated and molested and incestuously raped by my mom for a pack of cigarettes. And then my 5 sisters, the screams, the taunts, the beatings, all the shame, all the pain, everything encapsulated in all the years of growing up until that point, God unveiled in my 5 sisters who were violated by my dad. And 5 of them were molested and 3 of them were raped by my dad. And one of them conceived 6 times. And she had an abortion at the age of 11 and an abortion at the age of 14. Her daddy, my daddy. And she had a miscarriage at the age of 16 because they beat her so bad, she lost the child. And so in the midst of that, she conceived 3 more times. Those are my half-brothers and half-nephews. And so God unveiled all these things in the midst of this 8 to 10 minutes. And then plus me getting cut from baseball and basketball my senior year. So God just showed all the hurts and pains and the rejection, the deep roots of rejection that this world had to offer. And so when the vision stopped, audibly I heard a father's voice speak to me again. And he said, go check on her. And I felt somebody tap me on the back of the head 3 times, like I would one of my 4 boys. Come on, son, let's go. I get up, because whenever the voice spoke, I would just do what the voice said. And that's how I would see the results that God would reveal. I just didn't know it was God. I walked over to the bathroom, and the door was left open about 6 to 8 inches. And as I looked inside, there laid Margaret Rose Cox. She's face plant first. She's pale as a white shirt. She's lifeless, blue lips. She's cool to the touch. She's starting to get clammy. She had no pulse on her throat or on her wrist. And then an audible voice said, pick her up. So I straddled her and I picked her up. Now keep in mind, I had a messed up back, shoulder, knee, and neck. And I still picked her up. And as I picked her up, I stepped into the eatery kitchen. Then the audible voice spoke one word. He said, Heimlich. Well, I'd never done the Heimlich before. I pulled up improperly once and nothing happened. I pulled up a second time and up come a piece of chicken the size of a quarter and it flopped on that kitchen floor. And in the midst of this, I'm expecting her to breathe because the chicken got dislodged.
She wasn't breathing
She
before.
Wasn't breathing. She was lifeless. Hmm. And as I'm holding her in my arms, there's nothing else I knew to do. And in the midst of that widow woman's home came the same presence that I experienced as a little boy at the age of 2. And that presence of the resurrection power of Jesus came into that widow woman's home at 34th and Kessler in Indianapolis, Indiana. And God quickened that body back to life and she started gyrating and she started gasping for air. And in the midst of that, God didn't stop. The goodness of God, He was revealing His truth. He revealed His resurrection power. And not only did God breathe life into her, God healed my shoulder 100%. He healed my neck. He healed my spine. And He healed my left knee at the same time. And that was my introduction to the resurrection power of the truth of Jesus Christ.
And you've been running ever since, praying for the sick and
yes,
prophesying
sir.
Dreams and everything in the Bible. But you still had issues with shame of how you were abused, how your sisters were abused. How did you ever get free of the shame and guilt and condemnation that you probably felt for yourself?
Well, I started running after God. I had an expectancy and I tasted of the goodness of God. The Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. And I saw that there was a true Heavenly Father that was a true Heavenly Father. That wouldn't hurt me or violate me or my children. And there was a father that loved me. See, the truth is, Sid, you and I, not a one person that's ever been born ever chose our father or a mother, but we can choose a heavenly father that will not defile us. And so, with the compassion for the hurting, with the compassion that God downloaded in me, the goodness of God to bring healing to the hurting, I just began to seek after the Lord. And as I was reading in Scripture over and over again, and I started seeing thousands and thousands of people being healed, free, delivered, and saved, God began to reveal to me, even in the midst of all that, that I was still broken and still hurting. There was an anguished little boy on the inside that was just longing for a comfort from a father. And so I began to cry out to God. And He showed me in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, since we're surrounded by such a great host of witnesses, let us cast down everything that ensnares us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author the perfecter and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he said, consider him, Jesus, who endured such great opposition from sinful men, so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. And at that moment, God showed me that the shame that I'd went through, the forced shame, the torment, even the shame that I chose after that because of the spirits that had jumped on me that I needed delivered from. God began to show me that he scorned that shame and I had to walk in my authority to reject it. And so then I was sitting in a car outside of a retail store, and I was longing for God and asked God, I said, God, reveal to me, there's something that needs to be freed. I don't understand. And I get a call from a woman by the name of Elaine Poland, who was an intercessor. She'd prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she called me and she said, Stan, the Lord prompted me to call you. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, what is it? She said, well, have you forgiven your father? Hmm. And I said, oh, yes, I've forgiven him. You know, like we flippantly do. We say, I forgive you. But we don't mean it from our heart. We just say it in our head to clear our mind. And so I said, well, yeah, I've forgiven him. And she goes, no, Stan. Have you forgiven him as Jesus has forgiven you? Hmm. She said, Stan, God commands us to forgive. And I knew she was right. And immediately I said, oh, Lord, I forgive my dad. I don't trust him, but I forgive him. And I forgive him as you forgave me. And all of a sudden, God began to give revelations. And so at that moment in time, I began to really understand that it wasn't just me that had a bondage of unforgiveness that got set free. I began on a journey to really set the captives free. And the root issue is unforgiveness. It's bitter roots. And the Bible says, see to it that no one takes you captive and that no bitter root roots up in your heart to cause trouble and defile many. And so I realized that my dad had bitter roots and that his dad had bitter roots. My mama had bitter roots. And I began to realize all the unforgiveness, all the unveiling in my family. And I began to see people as treasures, even my enemies. And my dad was my worst enemy. He was the one that commissioned me to go out and protect my sisters as he was violating them behind locked doors.
Hold that thought. When we return, Stan is going to complete that story and pray for complete freedom from all shame, all guilt, all regret, and all unforgiveness. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural. What lies has the devil told you that keep holding you back from accessing all the promises of God for your life? No matter what the devil has tried to place on you, Jesus has carried all your guilt, shame, and regret, and he wants to set you free. Call now and get Stan Levin's powerful and anointed four-part audio CD teaching series, Total Freedom from Guilt, Shame, and Regret. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $29. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 3818.
You have to take authority and reject the shame and forgive those who've wronged you. And we'll talk about this in this four-set CD series on breaking yourself free from all the baggage, all the bondage, all the torment, shame, pain, and generational curses, and even the hexes, vexes, and curses that will come on a person's life. Jesus wants you free.
Stan Lovins II grew up in an abusive household where he was told repeatedly that he would never amount to anything. But God had different plans for him, and God has different plans for you. The first CD is How to Hear the Voice of God for Yourself. The second CD is How to Overcome Regret, Shame, Forced Shame, and Guilt. The third CD is How to Forgive Yourself with Impartation Prayer. The fourth CD is Activating Miracles in Your Own Life. Through his four-part audio CD teaching series, you will see God's healing power work in your life as Stan sets you free from shame, releases God's anointing to break the yoke of your bondage, helps you forgive others as Jesus has first forgiven you, demonstrates the impact you can have on others when you walk in God's freedom. Overcome the pain of molestation, incest, rape, torment, shame, verbal abuse, physical abuse from coaches, from parents, from teachers, from pastors, from church authorities.
You no longer have to live in this bondage.
You can be free today.
Don't miss out on getting Stan Lovin's powerful and anointed four-part audio CD teaching series, Total Freedom from Guilt, Shame, and Regret. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $29. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 3818. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural, P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. Please specify offer number 3818 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Have I got good news? I'll kind of preempt Stan. God saved his mom, his sisters. They became believers, filled with the Spirit, delivered. But something amazing happened at your grandmother's funeral. What happened?
The Lord is a redeeming God, and God's desire is to bring healing to not only to us, but to our family members and extended family members. And at my grandmother's homegoing celebration, I had been blessed to lead her to Jesus at the age of 84, and she had passed when she was 93. So my uncles had asked me to preach the homegoing celebration. And I was tremendously honored for that. And as I began to share and to testify, I looked out and there was about 150 people at the homegoing celebration. And as you can imagine, with all the hurt, abuse, and shame, there was a lot of tension in the room. And as I began to testify to what Jesus had done, literally over 120 of them out of 150 made confessions of faith to Jesus Christ.
At a funeral.
But it didn't stop there. It carried over into the homegoing and at the burial. At the burial, we touched on the Lord in front of the casket. As I stood before the casket, I said, "She's not here. She's home in heaven." But I can tell you, I sat before my dad and I knelt down and I begged my dad for forgiveness in the midst of that moment to forgive my dad. And he said, "No, you've never done anything wrong." And I said, "No, I've wronged you. I need to ask you for forgiveness." And he said, "What's that for?" And I said, for not forgiving you sooner. And I shared that openly at the burial site. And all of a sudden there were screams and cries because people were gasping because the revelation that they have not forgiven even others around them. And we had revival break out at the grave site. The power of the Holy Spirit began to transform lives. And people were sprawled out in the glory of God in Jesus' name.
Your father. Tell me about the moment that he got saved.
Well, it was June 9th of 2019. He was on his deathbed, and they'd told us five different times that he only had an hour or 2 hours to live. As I'm driving to the hospital, there was this righteous anger that rose up into me, and I preface it for this because I said, "Oh, no." I said, "Satan, I turned him over to you 10 years prior to. You've done your job to sift him so that his soul shall be saved." I said, "Now today is a day of salvation, and today he shall be saved." So as I arrived at the ICU and I walked in and he's got tubes down his throat, he can't speak audibly. I looked into his eyes and I saw literally a scared little boy. And I began to see a grown man, but yet a scared boy on the inside. And the Lord told me to grab hold of his hand. Now keep in mind, I had to grab hold of this cold, clammy hand, the same hand that violated me, the same hand that violated my sisters and my mom and everybody else that he had ever violated. And the Lord said, "Look at him in the eyes." And I said, "Today," I said, "you're gonna spend eternity in one of two places. You're gonna spend it in hell, where you're destined to at this moment, or you're gonna spend it in heaven." And I said, "If you can hear the sound of my voice, I want you to squeeze my hand." And he squeezed my hand. I said, "If you can understand what I'm speaking to you, squeeze my hand." So methodically, I walked him through repentant prayer. And after he repented and gave his heart to Jesus, tears started welling up in his eyes. And then I walked him through a series of forgiveness, of forgiving loved ones, his dad, his mom, his siblings, and others that abused him and violated him. And then I said, "Now it's time to forgive you." And when he forgave himself, literally demons came screaming up off of him. And in the midst of that, God healed his kidneys. He was on 100% dialysis for his kidneys. And God healed his kidneys 100%. And then immediately two doctors came in and asked me if I could pray for them. So we had a total of 5 doctors, 6 nurses that got born again. Several of them got filled with the Holy Ghost, including my sister, who had been living at the home. She got delivered and she got set free. She had never, ever lived outside of that home, but God broke those chains and literally brought forth healing 10 years after I turned him over to Satan to be sifted. That's a powerful, awesome God that we serve. Yeah.
You know, the people watching us right now, and they desperately want to know Jesus. Something you've said has touched their heart. What should they do right at this second?
Right now, first of all, trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He died because he loved you so much that he took on your sin, your shame, the forced shame, everything that you've been through, everything I've been through, Jesus took it on. I brought a couple demonstrations out here today for you. This is the baseball. This is ripped open, bleeding from the inside out. That was me. I was wretched. There was darkness inside my heart, but God knew he wouldn't quit on me, and he's not quitting on you. He's able to, when I cried out to God, when I cried out to Jesus, he literally did a mighty work to pull me back together, to stitch me back together, to wash me as white as snow, and redeem me by the blood of Jesus to make me whole. He'll do the same for you today. You don't have to be here where you're ripped open, bleeding from the inside out anymore. God wants to put you back in the game. He's a creator. He's a divine creator. And your old creation can go. A new creation can come. So right now, right where you're at, you can just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I trust you.
I trust you.
You died on the cross for my sin.
You died on a cross
my
for my sins. My shame.
My pain.
My pain.
So by your authority, Jesus.
So by your authority.
I reject
Jesus.
All the darkness.
I reject all the
All condemnation.
All condemnation.
And I accept you, Jesus.
And I accept you.
Into
Jesus.
My life.
Into my
you
life.
You rose from the dead.
You rose from
you
the dead.
You conquered death.
You conquered death.
A place called hell.
A place called
and the grave.
And the grave.
To liberate me today.
To liberate me
I
today.
Accept you, Jesus.
I accept you.
As my Lord.
As my Lord,
as my Savior.
As my Savior.
As my God.
As my God.
Jesus, thank you.
Jesus, thank you.
For loving.
For loving.
The hell right out of me.
The loving the hell right out.
I'm not holding on to hell anymore.
I'm not holding on to hell
in Jesus'
anymore.
Name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pray briefly to be free of shame and guilt.
Right now, if you've had shame and pain, and we've all had it, maybe it wasn't to the extreme of what I've been through. Maybe it's been worse. Maybe you've been through sex trafficking. Maybe you've been violated by word curses, or have coaches or parents or mentors or teachers that have berated you and tormented you. And literally, you've been isolated into a box of shame, regret, fear, and torment. God wants to liberate you right now. Listen, Jesus Christ scorned all shame. We have authority. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you have his authority to reject the shame. So right now, repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I reject all shame.
I reject all shame.
All pain.
All pain.
Literally to hell with it.
Literally to hell.
I'm not holding on to it anymore.
I'm not holding on to it.
By your authority, Jesus.
By your authority.
I choose. To be obedient.
To be obedient.
To your word.
To your word.
And I choose to forgive.
And I choose to forgive.
As you've forgiven me, Jesus.
As you've forgiven me,
Jesus. I choose to forgive.
I choose to forgive.
And you literally name the people that have wronged you, hurt you, violated you right now. And right now, say, I forgive myself.
Forgive myself.
And I trust you, Jesus.
I trust you, Jesus.
Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost.
And the holy fire.
And the holy
fire. Scorn out all shame. Scorn out all pain.
All pain.
All condemnation.
Let's go. All condemnation.
Because I'm born again.
I'm born again.
And I'm healed.
And I'm healed.
This moment.
This moment.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh.